Now, the rest of the story. To the tourist, Paris is its museums, and the most popular of these days is the Picasso Museum. It is housed in a renovated 17th century palace known to historians as the Hotel Salé. It contains not only a third of all of the paintings and sculptures Picasso ever produced, the art which the artist could not bring himself to part with, but also Picasso's own private collection of the artworks of other people, Rousseau, Cézanne, Matisse. Now, how could anyone afford to gather all of these tens of millions of dollars worth of art under one roof? Well, that's the rest of the story. The new Picasso Museum in Paris has been compared to Aladdin's cave for all of the treasures stored therein. 149 original sculptures, 228 masterwork paintings, 3,000 drawings and engravings. And first among the priceless gems is a self-portrait dated 1901, Picasso's personal mirror vision. There's a Russian ballerina embraced in filmy black and seated in a floral print armchair. She has a soft, sallow face and serious eyes. Within a year of her painting, she will become Picasso's first wife. And the magical mystery tour continues. A decade of classicism is revealed in works of precision and subtle emotion. And then the explosion. Surreal, exotic, lopsided breasts and suggestive shapes and nightmarish lovemaking. Then Picasso, at 46, took a 17-year-old mistress named Marie. It was she who is said to have inspired the most creative, the most passionate, even violent period of the artist's incredible career. The product of that inspiration is on display at the Picasso Museum. Through his lifetime, Picasso had two wives, four mistresses, and four children. He lived to be 91, experimented intensely with art to the very end. There is no better place on planet Earth to experience the flavor and the diversity of his life than at the Picasso Museum. In those halls, everywhere one looks, he is present. In the torrent of cockeyed eyes and misplaced noses, in the expressions of fear and surprise and mischief and wonder, in the flash and clash of color, in the fantastic shapes and bizarre shadows, in the figures in tangled anatomical confusion, in the primitive and the tribal, in the bare outlines that speak more eloquently than other artists' complexities, in the bird and the cat and the monstrous child, in the creatures of the mind. It's an astonishing feast for the eyes and for the soul, a bacchanalian festival, an orgy of art in a celibate generation, a theater of the sane and the absurd, an estimated $50 million worth of irreplaceable masterpieces. But how? I mean, how could anyone or anything afford such an art collection to comprise such a museum? For indeed, all that's there was originally the property of Picasso's heirs. They wouldn't have parted with it for almost anything. Almost. The French government imposes an inheritance tax on such beneficiaries. And yet there's a 1968 French law that says such a tax may be paid not only in cash, but in art. And thus is the new Picasso Museum not only an art shelter, but a tax shelter. The only museum in the world whose contents were accrued exclusively through taxes. A third of everything Picasso did, more than treasure, ransom. And now you know the rest of the story.